Welcome to the Gloucester Daily Times for Friday, February 20th, 2026, brought to you by the Talking Information Center. Located in beautiful Marshfield, Massachusetts, this is your reader, George Krein. Today's lead story, no bluefin blowout this summer. Organizers looking for new management. It's run by Bobby Grady. The annual bluefin blowout tuna fishing tournament will not be returning this summer, but its organizers are looking to pass the torch to anyone interested in keeping the event alive. At its core, it's a fishing tournament, but it's become a lot more than that. It's become a community-wide event that we're so proud and honored to have hosted and organized, said the Lion Wall Auto Group marketing director, Sedalia Schwartz. Schwartz said Lion Wall Auto Group is stepping away as the tourney's organizers because the event has become too big to manage while overseeing seven car dealerships. The tournament, based at Cape Ann Marina, 75 Essex Avenue, attracted anglers as near as Gloucester in New England and as far as the West Coast. For us to be able to provide the same level of community service, care, and organization that we've been doing for so many years is difficult, Schwartz said. At some point, we just have to close the chapter on it because it will consume all of our time. The Lion Wall Auto Group has been the tournament's main sponsor since 2011 and took over its organization in 2014. Gloucester resident Warren Waugh, that's spelled W-A-U-G-H, managing partner for the Lion Wall Auto Group, said in a statement, should someone else take over management of the Bluefin Blowout, his group would continue to sponsor the event. The tournament began as an idea scratched out on a bar napkin by founders Drew Hale and Rob Booley, and it eventually grew into the biggest bluefin tuna tournament in the world, attracting fishermen from near and far and bringing thousands of people into Gloucester for a multi-day celebration. The tournament grew from the initial 30 participating boats in 2011 to last year's event that included 118 boats. Last year's event also saw fishermen reel in 15 tuna totaling 7,686 pounds. I don't think we expected it to get this big, but it always comes back to the Gloucester community. It's unlike anyone else. Gloucester Schwartz said, I'm not surprised it got this big because the community is just that big. We couldn't have done it without them. Once the auto group took over the event, it began raising money for the Alzheimer's Association. In total, the tournament raised $2.6 million for the association to support its mission of helping those with Alzheimer's and their families, a cause close to the organizers. Warren's wife, Liz, passed away on Alzheimer's, and that was a cause very near and dear to Warren, Schwartz said. We found that more and more people in our community were challenged with the same disease. According to Schwartz, there have not been any inquiries to take the event over yet, but she is confident the auto group will get some. Anyone interested in taking over the event's organization should reach out to Schwartz at csschwartz@lionwall, it's lyonwaugh.com. GOPers seek SNAP oversight. It's written by Christian Wade, State House reporter, Boston. The state Senate's Republican minority is calling for oversight hearings to investigate allegations of fraud in the state's disbursement of federal SNAP benefits. SNAP used to be known as food stamps. In a letter to Senator Mark Montini, chair of the Democratic-controlled Senate Committee on Post-Audit and Oversight, Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr, Republican of Gloucester, and the other four members of the caucus called for hearings to investigate, quote, significant and recurring evidence of fraud in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and other public assistance programs. The GOP lawmakers cited state audits, federal investigations, and news reports based on a whistleblower account that suggested, quote, operational failures within the State Department of Transitional Assistance, and that the Healey administration is failing to, quote, adequately protect taxpayer funds and program beneficiaries. 2 weeks ago, federal authorities charged four individuals, including two Venezuelan nationals, in a more than $1 million multi-state SNAP fraud and stolen identity case. Federal prosecutors allege the men used the stolen personal information of more than 100 people to fraudulently obtain SNAP benefits in Massachusetts and Rhode Island and use the benefits to stock a Mexican restaurant and collect the profits. In December, federal authorities charged two Haitian nationals in a $7 million trafficking scheme to collect SNAP food benefits from a Boston storefront. In both cases, U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts Leah Foley blamed Governor Mara Healey's administration for lack of enforcement of the program. Federal officials have indicated that some of these schemes were not referred by Massachusetts agencies, underscoring gaps in detection and reporting, the GOP senators wrote in the demand for oversight hearings. The lawmakers also cited investigations by the State Auditor's Bureau of Special Investigations that have uncovered more than $34 million in public benefits fraud over the past three fiscal years, with SNAP fraud accounting for a majority of the graft in every year. Taken together, the BSI's multi-year findings, the whistleblower's detailed account of internal dysfunction, the federal government's discovery of large-scale fraud schemes, and the conflicting statements regarding referrals to federal authorities, these developments present a clear pattern of systemic vulnerabilities that warrant immediate legislative oversight, they wrote. But the Healey administration has pushed back on claims of lax enforcement in the federally funded program, formerly known as food stamps, and claims it has robust measures in place to detect and prevent public benefits fraud. President Donald Trump's administration has threatened to cut off federal funding for Democrat-run states if they do not provide proper oversight of SNAP benefit payments. The crackdown comes in response to allegations that a group of Somali immigrants defrauded Minnesota taxpayers of more than $1 billion through the state's Medicaid program. In Massachusetts, more than 1.1 million people received benefits from the program, which provided $2.6 billion in funding in 2024, according to the Healey administration. The distribution of SNAP benefits in November was delayed by a 43-day shutdown of the federal government amid partisan bickering in Congress over extending expiring Affordable Care Act so-called enhanced tax credits. Tarr's office said the GOP senators hadn't received a response as of Thursday afternoon. Essex gears up for elections. It's written by Stephen Hagan. It may be days away, but town officials and residents are preparing for the special primary election March 3 for the open Massachusetts 5th Essex district seat and for May's town election. Voters will head to the polls March 3 for the special primary election to fill the seat held by the late state representative Anne Margaret Ferrante, Democrat of Gloucester, who died last Thanksgiving Day. Essex's local election is set for May 11th. I haven't heard much chatter about the election, but people are aware it is coming up, town clerk Amy Akel said. These elections are especially important because both the special election and the town election directly impact the people of Essex. These open seats are going to be filled by the people they know. Akel said energy for the elections should begin to mount. I always hope for a big turnout at any election, municipal, state, and federal, because it's so important that every voice is heard, she said. Nomination papers for open town government seats are available at the town clerk's office and town hall until March 19th. The last day to submit them is March 23rd. As of Wednesday, Akel said, the following residents had taken out nomination papers for open town government seats: Board of Selectmen, which is 1 3-year term, incumbent Selectman Alva A. Ingajaro, and Challenger Dexter Timothy Arnold Lee Viator. I guess that's one person. Planning Board, 1 5-year term. The incumbent is Shelley Bradbury. Board of Assessors, 1 unexpired term of 2 years, and 1 3-year term. Sally Ann Rich is running for the 2-year unexpired term. Moderator, 3-year term. Incumbent is Jeffrey D. Jones. Board of Health, 1 3-year term. The incumbent is David Mark Driscoll. Constable, 2-3-year terms. The incumbents are William J.S. Novak and Robert Bradley. Manchester Essex Regional School Committee, 1-3-year term, and the incumbent is Teresa Lee Whitman. Also open are Board of Library Trustees, 1 seat for 3 years, and that's open. The Planning Board, there's 1 5-year term available. April 24th is the final day to register to vote in the town election, and at annual town meeting on May 4th. If people have already registered, they do not need to re-register, Town Clerk Amy Akel said. Squaring off in the special election primary for Ferranti's seat will be Ashley Sullivan of Gloucester and Christina DeLisio of Manchester-by-the-Sea on the Republican ballot, while Andrew Drew Tarr of Gloucester will be the only name on the Democratic ballot. Rockport Democrat Sarah Wilkinson is running a write-in campaign. She must get at least 150 votes and beat Tarr to be nominated to the ballot for special state election March 31st, Secretary of State William Galvin's office said. The special general election on March 31 will also feature unaffiliated candidate Gilbert Frieden, an Essex resident and former vice president of the board of the Friends of the Essex Council on Aging. Interviews with the fifth Essex candidates by the League of Women Voters of Cape Ann were taped and are available on 1623 Studios. Also, the Essex-based Cape Ann Political Action Committee, a nonpartisan organization, invites the public to a candidates' forum on Wednesday, February 25th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Gloucester High School at 32 Leslie O. Johnson Road. Attending will be DeLisio, Tarr, Wilkinson, and Frieden. Sullivan has said she will not be in attendance. Moderator will be Howard Frisch. The forum is free to voters who submit topics and questions in advance of the forum by calling or texting 508-284-2418. Again, if you have any questions or topics you'd like covered, you can call or text 508-284-2418. The last days to register to vote are February 21st for the March 3 special primary election and March 21st for the March 31st special state election. Parker River Wildlife Refuge hoping for new volunteers. It's written by Matt Petrie. Newburyport, the Parker River Wildlife Refuge is hoping to bolster its volunteer numbers this weekend as it prepares to host its annual volunteer training day. The training is set to begin at 10 a.m. Saturday. We have a wonderful volunteer program here at the Refuge, Refuge Visitor Services Manager Ella Weber said. The training is about 1 hour long. It'll be right here at our visitor center in the auditorium, and then there's an optional refuge tour afterwards. Volunteers are vital to the refuge's operations, she said. Volunteers support basically every activity between biological programs, helping with removal of invasive species and shorebird monitoring, to visitor services, doing programs and assisting with school field trips that make it possible for us to bring as many students as we do for free to the refuge, Weber said. They also help with maintenance projects such as fixing up boardwalks, helping with mowing and snow removal. Just about everything we do here, we have a small core staff, and the volunteers support all of those activities, Weber said. So it makes our work possible. Tim Corcoran, who has been volunteering at the refuge for over 3 years, shared why he feels people should get involved. I think if you have an appreciation for our area and preserving natural habitat for the wildlife that we all enjoy so much, and in some cases the outreach to the community, he said, it's a great combination of being exposed to nature and raising awareness of the importance of the habitat. The training will be aimed at new volunteers, though all volunteers are welcome. We'll go over the basics of the Fish and Wildlife Program and Parker River, Weber said. Following that, she said trainers will go into what to expect. So what you might encounter in the field, Weber said, basics of working with the public, some of the structure of our program, you know, if you're a maintenance volunteer, how do I check in? Where do I find tools? Just those types of 101. She said they will also discuss the different volunteer activities available that might be interested in signing up for. and then specifically things that already have dates on the calendar where we're looking for help, Weber said. The refuge was established in 1941, and today consists of more than 4,700 acres of diverse upland and wetland habitats. The habitats support varied populations of resident and migratory wildlife, including more than 300 species of birds and additional species, according to the Parker River website. It reports more than 315,000 annual visitors, according to the refuge's 2025-2030 Visitor Services Action Plan. Recently, the refuge has been collaborating with local partners, including ACES, A-C-E-S, First Waste Workshop on February 11th, and partnering with Joppa Flats for the Merrimack Eagle Festival over the weekend. For many volunteers, Weber said this is often their first time working with the public. So we talk about what to expect, types of frequently asked questions they might encounter when they're out in the field, she said. Folks who may be worried they do not have the proper knowledge about the refuge to volunteer have no reason to fear. They can totally pick it up as they go, Weber said. So we have some volunteers who come in with special expertise that they're interested in sharing as a volunteer. So, for instance, a lot of our field trip volunteers are retired teachers, and that's wonderful. But we have some folks who come in totally fresh, and they're just interested in learning something new. Priest to host trivia event Saturday. All friends, neighbors, and fellow parishioners of the Catholic community of Gloucester and Rockport are invited to a brain-teasing, fast-paced trivia night with the Reverend James Acadena this Saturday. The event will run from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. Saturday, February 21, in Our Lady of Good Voyage Church Hall, 144 Prospect Street in Gloucester. Throughout the evening, Acadena, who event organizers said secretly longs to be a game show host, will ask a series of questions on a variety of topics that will include music and sports, books and history, movies and television, politics and religion. Participants will be organized into teams of 8 players. All are encouraged to organize a team in advance or take your chance on joining the winning team when you arrive. All are welcome to bring food and snacks. Coffee, tea, bottled water, and soft drinks will be offered for sale along with a cash bar. There will also be raffles and prizes. More information about Trivia Night is available by contacting Acadena at FRJIM at CCGROnline.com. I'll do the whole thing again. I really did a terrible job. FRJIM, like as if it's Father Jim, at CCGROnline, all one word, .com. Tickets are $25 per person and are available at the door or at the parish office or by calling 978-281-4820. Advocates cry foul over DCR budget cuts. It's written by Ella Adams of the State House News Service, Boston. A public parks nonprofit is raising concerns about cuts proposed for 2 conservation and recreation accounts in Governor Mara Healey's $63.36 billion budget proposal for fiscal year 2027. Healey's proposal would cut the Department of Conservation and Recreation State Parks operations account by 8.3% and its seasonal employee account by 2.9%, according to Mass Parks for All Executive Director Doug Pizzi. DCR funds most of its day-to-day functions from the operations account, while the seasonal account pays to staff our forests, parks, campgrounds, beaches, pools, and other DCR facilities during peak use periods, primarily during the summer months, Pizzi wrote in a blog post. These accounts put people in the parks and put boots on the ground, Pizzi said. Healey's proposal recommends about $104.38 million for state parks operations in fiscal 2027 compared to a fiscal 2026 allocation of $113.8 million. She proposed about $28.4 million for DCR seasonals in fiscal 2027 compared to the $29.29 million allocated in the fiscal 2026 budget. Mass Parks for All, a public lands nonprofit, is seeking a 3.5% increase in both accounts over fiscal 2026 allocations and requesting that the legislature do so by reducing by $15.32 million the $100 million that is expected to flow into the state's stabilization fund. DCR, which oversees Halibut's Point State Park in Rockport, did not respond to a news service inquiry about the funding decrease in time for publication. In a fiscal 2027 budget brief, the Healey administration wrote that its proposal, quote, ensures that the Department of Environmental Protection and the Department of Conservation and Recreation, DCR, are staffed to continue providing core services to the Commonwealth. From an economic perspective, Peasy wrote, it makes no sense to us to shortchange a vital economic engine still not fully recovered from more than a decade of woeful underfunding during and after the 2008 recession. DCR contributes mightily to the state's $16 billion annual outdoor economy, $13 billion in consumer spending, and another $3 billion in worker wages. It is currently the fastest growing outdoor economy in the nation, he said. We want to see that growth continue. Here's the senior lookout column from Tracy Arabian. This week's headline, tips to avoid newest travel scams. Imagine this. You're finally on your way to that dream vacation. It's been years in the making. Perhaps there was always some reason it didn't happen. A household repair drained your savings, an injury grounded you, or the COVID-19 pandemic halted travel. But this time, the stars have aligned, your bags are packed, your passport is ready, and you're standing at the gate excited to board. Then comes the dreaded announcement, flight delayed. You take a deep breath and wait. An hour later, the next update hits harder, flight canceled. Suddenly, you're one of hundreds of frustrated travelers in a long line, all trying to get rebooked. You pull out your phone. Maybe you can save time by calling the airline directly. A quick online search brings up what looks like the airline's toll-free number. You dial, a friendly voice answers right away. The agent seems helpful, promises a new seat on a flight leaving in an hour, and just needs your personal details and credit card number to confirm. Delighted, you hang up and hurry toward your new gate, only to discover that the call wasn't real. Unfortunately, this type of scam is on the rise. Fraudsters are creating fake airline customer service numbers, complete with professional-sounding agents, to trick travelers. These numbers, starting with the familiar 800-844 or 888 prefixes, often appear near the top of online search results. Some even use the airline's logo or mimic official websites to appear credible. Once they get you on the phone, they act efficiently, book, quote, replacement flights, and collect your payment information. They may even send what looks like a legitimate confirmation email, but when you check in, it's all bogus. The Federal Trade Commission and AARP have both warned travelers to be cautious of these new twists on an old scam. Fortunately, a little preparation can go a long way toward protecting yourself. Here's how to stay safe online next time you travel. Be patient and stay in line. The airport service counter may move slowly, but those agents are your safest route to legitimate help. Use verified contact information before you travel. Write down your airline's official customer service number from its website or printed materials. Keep it in your wallet or travel folder so you don't have to rely on a search result. Download the airline's official app. Most airlines offer secure apps, applications that are on your phone or your laptop computer where you can check flight status, rebook, and communicate directly with verified customer service. Double-check website addresses. The official site typically ends in .com with the exact airline name. No hyphens or extra words. For example, delta.com is real, but delta-airline-booking.net is not. Trust your instincts and slow down. Scammers rely on confusion and pressure. If the person on the phone seems to be rushing you or asking for personal details unexpectedly, hang up and call back using the number listed on your confirmation email or ticket. Travel is one of life's great joys, whether it's visiting family, exploring new places, or relaxing by the ocean. But a few minutes of caution can protect both your wallet and your peace of mind. So before your next trip, make sure the most important item in your suitcase isn't just sunscreen. It's a plan to travel smart and stay scam safe. Manchester hires second law firm. It's run by Stephen Hagen. The town has decided to expand its legal armada with the goal of cutting its legal bills. The select board meeting earlier this month, by unanimous 5-0 vote, approved the appointment of the Boston-based firm of Pierce, Davis, and Peritano, LLP, as co-counsel for some of the town's legal needs. The board plans to continue its association with its current counsel, the Boston-based law firm KP Law, PC. The board appoints town counsel for 1-year terms. And finally, Governor Mara Healey has tapped former Biden administration official and state lawmaker Juana Matias as the state's next housing secretary. Healey said Thursday that she appointed Matias as secretary of the state executive office of housing and livable communities. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week for new editions of the Gloucester Daily Times. Have a great weekend.